Bibles, if we would, Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10. You know, walking in wisdom, Proverbs really is a book of wisdom, practical advice. And the title today is Delivered from the Way of the Evil. Delivered from the way of the evil, or how can we avoid evil? We're at Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10. And I'll just about guarantee we won't get through all of this today. I always plan to, but it almost never happens. There's just so much good information in here. Proverbs 2:10, the Bible says, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things, who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who rejoice to do evil and delight in the frowardness of the wicked, whose ways are crooked and they froward in their paths, to deliver thee from the strange woman, even from the stranger which flattereth with her words, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. For her house inclineth unto death and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take they hold of the paths of life, that thou mayest walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of righteousness, of the righteous. For the upright shall dwell in the land, and the perfect shall remain in it. But the wicked shall be cut off from the earth, and the transgressors shall be rooted out of it." Let's pray. Father, we just come to you asking you, Lord, we need you. I need you. I pray you'd help me. Fill me with your spirit, Lord, please. I want to be completely led by you and say only what you'd have me to say. God, please help me. I pray you'd be with each of us that are here. You'd speak to our hearts. You'd help us avoid the way of the evil man. Lord, please help us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we look at this, being delivered from the evil way, avoiding evil, evil's not always something that's easy to avoid. It really isn't. Because what's evil is so often going to be right next to what is good. As I was studying, preparing for this, I began to look up evil. And if I remember correctly, the first mention of evil in the Bible is found in Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. So if you would, save your spot in Proverbs, and let's go to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 9. Now I said that evil's not always easy to avoid because many times it's going to be right next to what is good. And this truth just jumped out at me as I saw this here, studying on evil. Genesis chapter 2, verse 9. "And out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, and get this, and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." They're right next to each other. Good and evil. Right next to each other. Many times that's why it's so hard to avoid, because they are right there, is the tree of knowledge of good and evil. God's intent is for every person to remain simple concerning what is evil. Is that not what he wanted in the Garden of Eden for Adam and Eve? See, he gave them a free will, and without a choice, there would be no free will. Okay, I'm not going to get into all the fact of free will and all that type of stuff and dealing with Calvinism, but I am going to say that God gave them a choice there. And he put them right next to each other. And God's intent for them was to remain simple or ignorant concerning what was evil. Now, I believe they already knew good because they knew God. Does that not make sense? But he wanted them to remain simple or ignorant concerning that which was evil. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Don't take it. That means that God also wants you ignorant concerning sinful and evil things. He wanted them to remain ignorant of it, how much more? And they were in a perfect society there. How much more does he want us to remain ignorant of what's evil? Wouldn't you say he definitely wants us to remain ignorant or simple concerning that which is evil? I've heard people before say, "Oh, well, I like a preacher who's lived a little and gone out into sin because he can relate better with the people." That's nonsense. That doesn't fit with the Bible at all. You say, well, show me that, preacher. Okay, good. I'm glad you asked. Let's go to Romans 16, 19. How come that doesn't fit with the Bible? Now, God can use someone that's done some foolish things and gone in a way they never should have. Doesn't mean He wants that for us. Now, this right here, I'll just share with you. I may preach through this here and make the applications. I've got a study outline here in my Bible. This was one of those things the Lord just showed me as I was studying this, and I was just, you know, sometimes you just have a fit. I was having a fit, just laughing and just enjoying it. When God showed me this one, it's like sometimes the light bulb just comes on and you see it. And I was excited about it. I came here late last night to study. We had a flood at our house. It wasn't even a big flood, but it ruined our floor, and they've got all these machines there drying it out, and it was just annoying me. I said, I can't work here. I can't get this done here today. So I ended up leaving and coming here late last night, and I was studying over this, and the Lord showed this to me. I'll just give it to you here. But if you look at Romans 16, verses 17 through 20, you're going to see how it perfectly fits with the methods used in Genesis chapter 3. Okay, I'll just tell you that right there, and I may point out one of them here as we look at this, but you can see how it just perfectly matches with exactly what happened in Genesis chapter 3 with the serpent, and you'll also need verse 15, but it's just amazing to me. But we're coming here because God wants us to remain simple concerning evil. Look at verse 19. For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good. Tree of the knowledge of good and evil, right? They knew God. They knew good. God says, I want you wise unto that which is good. And simple concerning evil. God doesn't want us to know what's evil. He wants us simple concerning evil. Or we could say ignorant. God wants us simple concerning evil, just like He wanted Adam and Eve simple concerning evil. He said, I don't want you to know what evil is. Nothing's changed. So you look at that, you can make the analogies yourself. If you go back and look in there, I may preach on that one day. But God says, I want you simple concerning evil. I don't want you to have to know about it. You don't need to know about it. I mean, I've got a testimony that I did some things that I wish I'd not done, but praise God, He saved me anyway, and He reached down and brought me to where I'm at today, and that's well and great, and I'm thankful for it. I praise God for it, all that He's done in my life. But I look at my pastor's testimony, and that to me is that just speaks remarkably about the grace and mercy of God, because my pastor never did any of that stuff that I did. He didn't have to go into the depths of sin and worldliness. God kept him from all of that. The grace of God can keep you from a lot of sin as well. Praise God. That, to me, simple concerning evil. You don't need to have a knowledge of evil. We don't. Now, we may study some things out about it so we can be warned of how to avoid it, but we don't need to be knowledgeable in the fact that we've experienced it and done it and lived it. We don't need that. You don't need that. God wants us simple concerning evil. I like this statement. I've heard it several times. I don't know who first started it. It's been said, though, that discernment is knowing the difference between right and wrong. I'm sorry. It's been said that discernment isn't knowing the difference between right and wrong, but knowing the difference between right and almost right. Okay, it's not knowing. Discernment is not knowing the difference between right and wrong, but knowing the difference between right and almost right. Okay, good and evil are going to be right next to each other. We know the difference between right and almost right. Okay, an example, I talked about it earlier this morning. Someone like Victoria Osteen, I promise some of what she says is going to be right. Some of what her husband says is going to be right. So do we know the difference between right and almost right? The only way we know that is if we know the Bible. Because then we know how God thinks about it. And we can avoid the evil way. How do we avoid or stay away from the evil way? We have to allow wisdom to enter our heart. Go back to Proverbs, if you would, please. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. So how do we avoid the evil way? By allowing wisdom to enter our heart. Our heart is always the key. Always the key. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee. In Matthew chapter 15, verses 18 and 19, Jesus speaking said, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart." See, you say something to somebody, and you hurt their feelings, you realize you hurt their feelings. You say, "I didn't mean that." Well, actually you did. I understand we've all misspoken, said some things we wish we didn't say, but we meant it. Why? Because the things that come out of your mouth proceed from your heart. Now, maybe we shouldn't have said it and we feel bad we said it, but that truly is what we felt. Jesus said, "Those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart," see, the heart's always the key, "proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies." It's out of our heart. The heart is always the key. We'll always go back to that. As you study it out, many times it appears that heart and soul are interchangeable within the Bible. Now there's a difference, but many times as you study it out, you're going to see they're interchangeable. Look right here, "When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul." Many times we'll speak of the same thing. Who you are. The person that's you. Not your body, but who you are in here. That's what it's speaking of. "For wisdom to have any effect, it must get beyond our head." A lot of people know things that the Bible says, but they don't do what verse 10 says. They don't allow wisdom to enter their heart and knowledge to be pleasant unto their soul. So it doesn't get through. It has to get beyond our head. Do you truly enjoy learning from God? Ask yourself that question. Is knowledge pleasant unto thy soul? Well, knowledge comes from God. So do you truly enjoy learning from God? To be delivered from the evil way, you need to enjoy learning God's Word. The psalmist said in Psalm 1:2 that about the blessed man, "His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in His law doth he meditate day and night." Do you meditate day and night in God's Word? Thinking about it, chewing it over, running it through your mind. Psalm 119:24, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." Do you allow God's Word to be your counselor? To teach you, to guide you. When you go to a counselor, that's why you go to them, so they can teach you and show you, hey, this is the way you need to go. Watch out, be careful of that. Well, the psalmist says, hey, God's Word, it's my counselors. I go to your statutes to counsel me, to guide me, to lead me. The decisions I make in life are based on the Word of God, not humanistic thinking. And if you start making your decisions based on the Word of God, you are going to go against the grain of this society. I promise you, you will. Will you allow wisdom to enter your heart and knowledge your soul? Psalm 119, verse 35, "Make me to go in the path of thy commandments, for therein do I delight." Do you delight in obeying God? He said, "Make me to go in the path of thy commandments." We're foolish sometimes, aren't we? We do some foolish things. And the psalmist is saying, "Make me, Lord, go in the path of thy commandments. I know it's best for me. I know that's what I need. God, therein, when I'm in you that path, when I'm following your commandments, I delight. Because I know it, God. I know it's good for me." But we don't always do what we should. So he's saying, "Hey, Lord, make me go in the path of thy commandments. Because I delight in it." See, do we enjoy learning from God's Word? Allowing wisdom, knowledge, discretion, and understanding to enter the heart are a spiritual and physical protection. That's what they are. They will protect us spiritually and physically. It says, "Discretion shall preserve thee, understanding shall keep thee." It's to protect you. God's Word was given for our good. That's why God gave it, was to protect us. It will preserve thee. It will keep thee. It's for our good. Deuteronomy 6:24, "The Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that He might preserve us alive." So He gave the statutes, these commandments, for our good always. God's not some evil dictator up there that's wanting to make our life miserable. He puts these commandments in here to protect us, for our good always, to preserve us alive. That's what he said. Again, he's speaking to the children of Israel, but we can make a broader application and say, yes, God still wants that. His Word's still there to protect us. It hasn't changed. It's there to protect us, to guide us. It's to be a counselor to us. It's to, as it says right here, to preserve us and to keep us. And that's exactly what His Word does. It guards us and protects us. Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. What are you doing? You're keeping it, you're guarding it. You're guarding, you're protecting your heart. It says of God's Word that understanding anyway shall keep thee. It'll protect you, it'll guard you. Proverbs 22:5, thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. We protect our soul. We'll be far from the thorns and snares of the froward. That word froward means perverse. Someone that's not wanting to follow God. You want to follow them. Hey, in that path, there's thorns and snares. Okay, many times here in Proverbs, you're going to see it's talking about a path you're walking on. It's trying to paint a picture for you. Okay, I remember one time we went, I don't know, my kids were probably, let me think, Isaiah I think was about 3. So it was maybe 8 years ago. Okay, the girls were like 7, 8 years old. Isaiah was about 3. We went camping with some friends. Okay, we went to, I forget which lake it was. It might have been Conchas. I'm not too sure. Anyway, the lake we went to, we got out there and it had dried up a bit. And we started walking. We wanted to go fishing and go check out the lake. And we started walking through and there was all these reeds. And this looked like the best path. So we kind of took it. It wasn't really a path, but there was all these broken reeds sticking up. And we were walking through and I was just like, come on, let's go. And you know, I'm the dad. I'm like, let's just go. Quit whining. Come on, kids. And they're going and everyone's like, ouch, ow, ow, ow. And they're stepping on all these things, you know, and all these reeds are sticking up, poking you. And weeds had grown up and everything like that. And it's all just scratching you and everything. But there was no path. We decided, let's turn around, let's go back. And we found a path and we walked a little farther, but it was so much smoother. Going on the path, and what do you know, it took us right to the edge of the water. And there was no whining and scratches or anything like that. It was so much easier. Why? Because there was a tried and true path. God says, hey, if you want to follow the way of the froward, there's going to be thorns and snares. There's going to be thorns, there's going to be traps, there's going to be danger. But he that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. You won't have to worry about those if you keep your soul, if you guard and protect your soul. Proverbs 23:19. Hear thou, my son, and be wise, and guide thine heart in the way. Guide thine heart in the way. Well, how do we guide our heart then? We're told, hey, guide thine heart in the way. Well, how? Hear thou, my son. Hear thou. We could put it like this, Proverbs 2:10. When wisdom entereth into thine heart, and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, hear thou, you receive it. We receive it. We receive what God has to say. We continue, we want to understand the characteristics of the evil man. It says there in verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. So what happened? Wisdom enters in, knowledge is pleasant to the soul, discretion preserves the understanding, keeps thee. Why? Why does all that happen? Verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man, from the man that speaketh froward things. That's why we need those things, to deliver us from the way of the evil man. The evil man, we see, has a way of doing things. It says right there, look at verse 12, to deliver thee from the way of the evil man. He's got a way he does things, a certain steps he takes, if you will, a certain lifestyle he leads. He does things a certain way. Proverbs 14:12 says, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. There's a lot of ways that seem right unto a man. I could look at several. We go to just recently, and I don't mean to make light at all of any of the lives that were lost in San Bernardino. That was horrible. It was tragic. But there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end thereof are the ways of death. What way seemed right unto a man but resulted in death? And California has some of the strictest gun control laws that are out there. And they took away people's right to defend themselves, to protect themselves. It seemed right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. That's a real life example of what that verse is saying in Proverbs 14:12. It's dangerous. It seemed right. Seems good, yeah, let's do this. We're going to save life. The opposite's true. The opposite's true. It's a way that can trap you, this way of the evil man. because you have to be delivered from it. So it can trap you. It's a snare. That's what it said there. To deliver thee from the way of the evil man. If you need to be delivered from something, that means you're trapped. You can't get out. You need someone to deliver you. So what can deliver you? Well, God says it's, hey, wisdom entering thy heart will deliver you from the way of the evil man. If you allow wisdom to enter, but if you put up a wall and block it off and don't allow it to come in, you can't be delivered. So many people do that. So many. You start trying to share your faith with people, you'll realize it's true. You'll realize how much of a Christian nation we don't live in. Start sharing your faith with people. Start sharing the gospel with them. Tell them they're a sinner going to hell. And that they deserve to go to hell. And you'll see how much of a Christian nation we really live in. They despise reproof. They despise the word of God. The evil man is going to speak froward or perverse things. Verse 12. From the man that speaketh froward things. The word froward again means perverse. He's going to be a liar and a deceiver. Froward things, it's not right. It's what's crooked. So you know you're speaking to an evil man when he's lying and deceiving. And I say man, it could be a woman. You understand what I'm saying. But he's going to lie and deceive. Jesus said of the Pharisees, you're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth. What does that mean? He didn't want to live in the truth. That's where he started off, but he didn't want to stay there. And he's telling them, you're of your father the devil. He abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. So the froward man, he's only just following the way of his father the devil. Yeah. Think about that. You start, when you're engaging lost people, see, there's a misconception that everyone, oh, we're all the children of God. No, we're not. No, we're not. People don't like that when you tell them that, but they're not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. You don't become a child of God until you receive Christ. Then you have the power to become the son of God. That's when he makes you his child. But not until then. Before then, whose child are you? You're of your father the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. And that's harsh. We don't like to accept that. I grew up almost my whole life till I got saved and started reading the Bible thinking I'm a child of God. Even after I got saved, I still thought that until I read it in the Bible. And I was, wait a minute, I wasn't a child of God? No, I wasn't. I was his creation, but I wasn't his child. It's a misconception that people have. And they'll get mad you start telling them that. But really, ultimately, they're of their father, the devil. Someone's lying and deceiving. Who are they of? They're of their father, the devil. And that's the way of the evil man. This is fruit you can look for in somebody's life. Hey, do I need to watch out for them? They're lying and deceiving? You know right there. They're following the way of the evil man. Does it mean they're completely wicked and completely just the most wicked, ungodly person ever? It doesn't mean that, but it means definitely they're following that way. Watch out for them. Watch out. These are things we want to watch in our own lives more than anything. Watch for this in your own life, that you're not following the way of the evil man, that you're not lying and deceiving. Deceiving is probably the one most people, it's still a lie, but the one most people try and do and try and get away with. Why? Because, well, it's close to the truth. It's not, I didn't outright lie, I just kind of left this part out. That's deceit. That's deceit. When you try and hide something back or withhold it instead of being honest. The evil man will twist scripture to fit his twisted lifestyle. It says there, he speaketh froward things. So obviously he's going to twist scripture. He's speaking froward things. 2 Peter 3:16, Peter warned about this. As also in all his epistles, speaking about the Apostle Paul, speaking in them of things in which are some things hard to be understood. He said some of the things Paul says are hard to be understood. Which they that are unlearned and unstable rest. Uh-oh, the unlearned and the unstable, they rest it. Who are we talking about here? Hey, we might just be talking about those that don't want to allow wisdom into their heart and knowledge is unpleasant to their soul. Maybe those people, they rest the scriptures as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. And that's what it's going to be. It's going to be their own destruction. The evil man will even twist your own words against you. We can see this so much, especially in the political realm, especially now as we get into a presidential season, voting for a president. I mean, just depends on who you like or don't like, and just you could find any media outlet to twist any of their words. And maybe they said it, maybe they didn't, whatever. I'm sure lots of things go on there. But I'm just saying, you can see the twisting of what people say and it being pulled out of context to make them look a certain way. I mean, I can think back to, I don't know what the last shooting was when the guy, he didn't fit the description of what he was supposed to be. I forget what shooting it was or what the man's name was, but they ended up putting him on the picture that they put up. They doctored the picture and made him look white. Do you remember that? It was not too long ago. It was like this summer, I think. Anybody remember that one? Twisting. The way of the evil man. The evil man willfully chooses to leave what is right. Verse 13. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. So what does the evil person do? They leave the paths of uprightness. They willfully choose to leave what is right. He's a rebel at heart. The evil man is a rebel at heart. Always bucking the system. Always fighting whatever's been said. And I'm not saying, hey, there's time we need to rebel. I get that. I like what our founding father said. Rebellion against tyranny is obedience to God. Okay, there's a right time to rebel. But it's you rebel against tyranny and what's wrong. But this person rebels against that which is right. Who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness. They're willfully leaving what is right. They're making that decision. He's a rebel at heart. The Bible says rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Rebellion. The sin of witchcraft. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. This is what, Samuel said to King Saul. Because thou hast rejected the word of God, the word of the Lord. There it is. You see what? Wisdom, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul, you're going to leave the paths. You're going to leave the way of the evil man. It'll deliver you from that. But Saul didn't want to do that. He rejected wisdom. He rejected the word of the Lord. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he also hath rejected thee from being king. Destruction came to him, didn't it? He ended up dying, didn't he? A rebel rejects the word of God just like Satan. He wants and desires what is contrary to God's law. That's what the rebel wants, what's contrary to God's law. Psalm chapter 2, verse 3 says of these nations that have assembled themselves together in the day of Armageddon, the battle of Armageddon, to fight against God. They've assembled themselves together. Here's what they say. Let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. I don't care what the Bible says. Let's break these bands asunder. I don't want to follow this anymore. Rebellion. Rebellion is the spirit of our age. And its main vehicle is music. Rebellion's the spirit of our age. And its main vehicle is music. I was in somewhat of a debate with somebody. And it ended up getting off the whole point of the article I posted. It was on Facebook. Didn't even really deal with music, but that was part of it. It was just the compromise that's coming into so many churches. And what's going on. And someone commented on there, well, they said something, and I responded back, and I said, well, rock music, research rock music, and you'll see the roots of rock music started in rebellion. And their response was, well, you know, and I was talking about Christian rock is what they brought up, but Christian rock or CCM, and they said, well, that's not rock music. Rock music is like heavy metal, Metallica, you know, things like that. I don't even know any of the names of the other group. I know Marilyn Manson, things like that. That's rock music. So what I'm going to read from you here is taken from really when rock started, you could say, here at least in this country. It's taken from, these quotes are from the 50s and what was going on then. This first quote is taken from Buddy Holly, a biography. And it says, 50s rock was revolutionary. Now again, remember, rebellion's the spirit of our age and its main vehicle is music. 50s rock was revolutionary. It urged people to do whatever they wanted to do, even if it meant breaking the rules. From Buddy Holly, the burgeoning youth culture received rock's message of freedom, which presaged the dawn of a decade of seismic change and liberation. What decade was that? The 60s, right? Yeah. Buddy Holly left the United States for the first time in 1958 carrying rock and roll, the music as well as its highly subversive message of freedom to the world at large. Laying the groundwork for the social and political upheavals, rock and roll was instrumental in fomenting in the following decade. That's not from a Baptist preacher. Okay? That was Ellis Ambern, Buddy Holly, a biography. But it said at the beginning, 50s rock was revolutionary. It urged people to do whatever they wanted to do, even if it meant breaking the rules. Rock has always been about rebellion. Little Richard's famous 1956 hit, Rip It Up, summarizes the careless, lustful rock and roll philosophy. Well, it said Saturday night, and I just got paid. Fool about, these are the lyrics from it. Well, it's Saturday night, and I just got paid. Fool about my money, don't try to save. My heart says go, go, have a time, because it's Saturday night, and I feel fine. I'm going to rip it up, I'm going to rock it up, I'm going to shake it up. Along about 10, I'll be flying high, walk on out into the sky, but I don't care if I spend my dough, because tonight I'm going to be one happy soul, I'm going to rip it up. Now me, I used to listen to all this music, so as I read it, I have to like not start singing it as I'm reading it, because I know it just popped in my head as soon as I'm reading through it. I know how the song goes. But what is it? It's all about rebellion. Do what you want. Go have your own thing. Eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die. That's what it's about. Chuck Berry has been called the single most important name in the history of rock. He was one of the first inductees into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in Cleveland, Ohio. In 1986, he melded the blues, country, and a witty, defiant teen outlook into songs that have influenced virtually every rock musician in his wake. There was so much more that I could have taken about Chuck Berry, but it was so graphic, I didn't want to even say much of it. But just some of the just his wicked lifestyle. But what did he do? It says he melded the blues, country, and a witty, defiant teen outlook. A defiant teen outlook into songs that have influenced virtually every rock musician in his wake. See, rock music, we think it's just one thing. It's not. Because he took blues, country, and welded them into this thing. Rock music includes the pop that you've got going on today, the rap going on today, and what we would technically classify rock music. Soft rock, it's the same thing. It's all defiance to God, defiance to God's ways. Where has the greatest influence of blending the genders together come from? Where has it come from? The music industry. The music industry. Think back to the 80s when you had the metal bands coming out. And all of them, you can go back even into the 70s, even the 60s even, but especially the 70s and 80s, you come into that, and you've got, who was it? Kiss, dressing like women. Right? They're blending the genders together. What is it? That's rebellion to God's order. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. And you start looking into it, you start looking into music, and how much of it is influenced by witchcraft, by Satanism. I'm just barely sticking my toe in the brim of this thing. And I will in the future, I don't know when, as the Lord leads, but I will in the future, Lord willing, I will teach in depth on rock music. But go research it yourself if you don't believe me. Look at the depths that are involved in it. You start studying some of these songs. I'm going to try not to get too much into this, but Stairway to Heaven, probably everyone's heard that and knows that. That's a satanic song right there. It is not talking about a stairway to heaven. Okay, I'll tell you that. It's dangerous. Dangerous. Just, some people don't like some of what I'm saying. I don't know if that's you in here or not. But my Bible says, when wisdom entereth into thine heart and knowledge is pleasant unto thy soul. Are you going to reject wisdom and knowledge? You might not agree with me, then research it out. You don't have to agree with me. You don't have to believe me. Research it out. And prove what you believe from the Bible. Make sure what you believe matches up with the Word of God and it's not in rebellion to the Word of God. That's my challenge to you. The way of the evil man is a way of rebellion. And we don't want that. We don't need that. It's going to hurt us. It'll harm us. I promise you. There's a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Whenever I discuss this issue with people in a private setting or whatever, and mostly it's with Christians, are going to argue with me, at least my experience has been about this. I've talked to lost people and they understand that rock music isn't, there's nothing godly about it, and Christians want to try and say, oh, we're going to use this ungodly music and we're going to use it for the Lord. Well, let's get some Christian pornography next, right? We'll use it for the Lord, right? Come on. But what happens is these Christians will argue. They'll say, well, I feel this and I think this. That's great. But what does God say? Give me some Bible to back up what you believe. I'm fine. If I'm wrong, I will admit I'm wrong. I will. I've done it. I've stood up here and told you guys, asked you to forgive me. I will. But prove what you believe from the Bible. Will we avoid the way of the evil man? We'll continue this next week as we look at the way of the evil man and the strange woman. But how can we apply this to our lives? Are we in rebellion to God at all? Are we receiving His Word in our hearts?